Hey friends, summer's longer days and slower pace invite us to pick up a book, follow our questions, and try our hand at something new. The work of modern software developers is evolving in ways that are both challenging and rewarding. As a developer, it's essential that you cultivate a security mindset. And to help, we've put together a collection of information security books, podcasts, blogs, and hands-on exercises recommended by VeraCoders across our development, security, and product teams. From a just-published page-turner to classic FRAC articles, there's something here for everyone who's interested in becoming more security-minded. So dip your toes in or take a deep dive. Visit www.veracode, that's V-E-R-A, code.com/reading. That's veracode.com/reading. Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. In fact, this is episode 700. I have done. Thank you. Thank you for that, guest. There have been 700 episodes of Hansel Minutes, which is divided by 52, I don't know, a big number. It's like 12 plus years, 13 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. My guest today on episode 700 is my wife, Mo. Hello, Mo.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm sure you're thrilled, as always, to be on the show. You care deeply about the show.
So thrilled. So thrilled.
With not a hint of sarcasm. Like, why are we doing this? Why are we up late? Clearly, we need a weekly Mo and Scott show. People say that they only listen to the show just waiting for you to show up every few years.
That's a compliment. Thank you very much.
How's it going? You tolerate me doing this show, I realize, and I appreciate that.
It's a pleasure.
Has it been a problem at all, scheduling the show? You really don't have to just do anything other than keep the boys from making noises for half an hour?
Yeah, not a whole lot on my part, except for the couple times a decade or so when I'm wanting for guests. But no, you do all the heavy lifting on that one, so nice job.
All right, cool. Yesterday, when was our anniversary? 2 days ago?
Dude, you should know this. Come on, man.
2 days ago. Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. You too.
Coming up on almost 20 years. I'm happy to be renewed for another season. Is that true?
Feels like 25.
It does feel like. It depends if you roll up. If you round up, it could be near 25 now.
Right.
Yeah, almost 20 years. Good Lord. That's a long time.
It was fast.
Some people had asked on Twitter how you were doing. If you go out and Google for Hanselman in cancer. Of course, you had cancer a number of years ago, and actually we were diagnosed this month. I've got it on the calendar. It's been, what, 7 years?
Yeah, 2012. It's kind of crazy when that comes up. It's like, wow, that was some journey, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, you can check out our cancer year on the other podcast that I used to do with Rob Connery called This Developer's Life. If you go to thisdeveloperslife.com, the episode was called Cancer, and it was actually a diary over the course of the year, because if I recall, and correct me if I get this wrong, tiny wife, you wanted to keep a diary, but you didn't really have the energy to do the writing part of the diary. So instead, you just recorded it on your phone. And you had like, I feel like this, and we would go for walks and we'd talk about it. So over the course of the year, as diagnosis and treatment and on, you know, surgery and all that kind of stuff happened, we kind of complained to each other, and then we tied that into like a single podcast episode.
Yeah, I mean, it totally helps to have an engineer for a husband who knows how to put that together, because I wouldn't have been able to do that on my own as far as documenting it. So it helped to have your expertise, because you were able to facilitate that in a way.
I love the one time that we're recording, you use expertise to refer to anything that I do.
That's right.
You are so wholly unimpressed. With whatever
the rest of the time, yes, when we're not recording.
I don't think you've ever said anything even remotely close to expertise. And actually, that's a good point. We should mention what you do, because you're actually on your second career. What did you do before?
Correct. I was in business, worked for a nonprofit, and now I'm a nurse.
And you see how understated you are? You have an MBA, you have an international business degree in French, you speak four languages, you were running a finance department for a nonprofit. Then one day you just decided to be a nurse. Why?
Well, I mean, it wasn't quite that abrupt and that sudden, right? But something that I always wanted to do.
Really?
Yeah.
We were together 10 years. You never mentioned nursing.
No, we talked about it. We talked about going and doing some kind of People Without Borders kind of a thing.
People Without Borders?
Well, we couldn't be doctors without borders.
We weren't doctors.
We were
just people.
Exactly. So volunteers without borders.
Just regular people with no borders.
Right. Yeah. So, but I mean, look, it's just a way of giving back, right? When you have been given so much, and I always felt like it was a privileged life, really, that we've had. And so I always wanted to give back. But I mean, first, so I had to get a job and take care of my family because, you know, you don't always know who you're going to marry. And you always want to be independent as a woman and be able to take care of yourself and your family. And my family was still in Zimbabwe at the time. And in fact, some of them still are there now. And wanted to get a job and be able to send money home. And so that was the plan, was do the quickest thing that would get me opportunity to send money home. And that was the business life. And
well, when I married you, you had already had your master's degree and you were working and doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're doing an entirely different career. It might be interesting for people to hear that it is in the back of your head that you want your own career and your own thing, so that God forbid I'm not around or we aren't around or whatever. You are your own person and you're doing your own thing and you are capable of doing your own thing.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think it's important for the boys and, you know, not having any daughters. My life is a little different that way, right? I'm surrounded by men in my house, but I want the boys.
Those people are men.
Well, they'll become men. I'm working on it, dude. I'm working on it. They're not men yet, clearly.
Don't flush the toilet.
I know. I have the toilet. But in time, they'll get there, I hope. And I want them to grow up knowing that women are capable individuals and can take care of themselves, can have goals, can exceed those goals, et cetera, you know, and you do a lot to support that, of course, because you always make it very clear. Like, it's even when I wasn't working, when I was taking care of the boys, that was what we decided on, was and was my choice to stay home for a while with the boys when they were younger. You'd never say things like it's my paycheck or it's my house, you know, even though you were making the mortgage payment. So it always felt like a team. So that was important
for the time. Yeah. At the time.
Yeah.
But this was the thing though. We always decided that was for the time that you did it, your job. And
right.
While it's not a job that generates a paycheck, it is an enormous amount of work.
Absolutely.
To be a homemaker. And and this was an agreement that we made. And actually, that's an interesting thing to mention as well. Over the last 20 years, when we started, I hadn't graduated college yet. You had a master's. Mm-hmm. I had not yet finished my undergraduate.
Mm-hmm.
My undergrad took 11 years.
Right.
Yeah, I love how you smile. You think that's hilarious because it took forever.
Because we're recording, I'm going to compliment you in your tenacity.
My tenacity.
And stick-to-itiveness.
And then when we stop recording, you'll berate me for my laziness.
I was like, dude, get with the program. 11 years? Yeah.
So I finished my bachelor's in 2003. And mm-hmm. while I was going to school, you were supporting me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you decided to go into nursing, that was a plan, and this is a really big thing. It's a theme in my blog, in my podcast, in our conversations, is this notion of intentionality.
Yeah.
Don't let your life happen by default.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sat down and said, I want to be a nurse, you're like, okay, if I recall, this is my recollection, which may not be clear. It was basically you came and you said, buckle up, buttercup. This is going to – it's going to be
my
pretty –
my words verbatim.
Yeah, it was roughly – that's what you said. Mm-hmm. But it was like, this is going to get crazy. I'm going to be going to school. And you were – I mean, you were basically checked out till 2 a.m. every night, 7 days a week, studying. If you weren't downstairs studying, you were upstairs studying. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't a thing that just happened. Like, that was planned.
Well, I mean, it was, and I think this is definitely recollection kind of softening the blow a little bit, because it is a game changer when your spouse comes in and says, hey, I want to do this. And you're like, what? You know, when did that become a thing?
Yeah, you said that. I'm like,
Yeah, exactly. And you even said it now. You're like, nursing, you know, I didn't know you wanted to do that. Yeah, it is hard. But again, it's all about communication, right? And being part of a team and saying, hey, this is important to me. And if for whatever reason I didn't communicate that or convey that, my bad, you know.
No, I think you did.
It,
I mean,
it matters.
Now that we're people without borders.
No, I'm talking about people without borders. Yes, let's make t-shirts. But I'm talking beforehand, because I think that's what is a challenge in a marriage. Mm. And you and I have talked about this from our personality point of view. Just the other day, you were saying with the boys that when we have a plan in place, we might do decide something as basic as, okay, we're going to get up and then go have bagels at our favorite bagel shop and then do A, B, C, D, E. And if you get that in your head on Friday night, for instance, saying, okay, that's what our Saturday is going to look like, our tomorrow is going to look like. And then I wake up on Saturday morning and say, okay, forget that idea. Here's what we're going to do. Instead, we're going to the beach. You know, you said that the jars, you find that jarring, and you find that it's not the expected plan. So it's you've got a shift, you know. So that was a little bit like that. My wanting to go back to school is a bit of a shift in the marriage and the plan. It's like, wait, where is this coming from?
Yeah.
But to be able to keep communicating, to be able to keep having the dialogue and saying, no, it really matters. And for you, I mean, you came around and then you became my cheerleader. You know, okay, well, if we are going to do this, right, let's do this.
We go to nursing.
And then it stops being Mo goes to nursing school, but we go to nursing school, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And that was huge.
And you bring up a really important point, is this notion of expectations. We've always said that in a marriage, you come in with expectations, and you have daily expectations, weekly, yearly expectations.
Right.
And when an expectation isn't met, there's fear and uncertainty and doubt and anger.
Right.
Because it's like suddenly the rug has been pulled out from underneath you.
Yeah.
And it can be something as simple as, we're going to the Olive Garden. No, we're not. We're going to Chipotle. Ah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whoa, I'm angry suddenly because something has changed. Or it can be, hey, I thought you were going to work at this job, or I thought you were going to watch the kids, and now we're moving to Spain.
Right.
Like, what happened there? And you've got to absorb the initial upsetness.
Yeah.
The initial context switch, I think, was the term that we used it. Mm-hmm. And then you got to get over it and say, all right, this is the change. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah. And I find that, you know, sometimes I do that a lot. I mean, something as basic as conversation, where it depends who I'm talking to, right? Like if I'm talking to my sister, you know, we can talk about four or five different things almost at the same time, and I can pick it up. We can be talking about the kids. We're talking about our work. We're talking about our mom. And I'll say, you know, hold that thought, which, you know, we have a phrase, we just say, put a comma there, is the equivalent of what we say. It's an English thing. That's the English translation of what we do say, which is put a comma there. Mm-hmm. And then I'll jump to something else and I'll come back and I'll pick it up. You know, that can be hard to do in a relationship if you're not sort of speaking the other person's language. And so I think you and I have, it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we continue to work at it. We continue to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And a couple of times you've called me on it and said, whoa, you just skipped steps here. You went from step one to step seven. What happened in between? And then I'm like, oh, shoot, I did. And
you made a lot of assumptions.
Well, not even assumptions. I in my head, I walked through it methodically. And then it's like, okay, I've got to go back and bring you up to speed. Okay, so this is where I am now, which is,
right.
For me, it was like, I'm a homemaker, okay? And I think your thought was, oh, you're going to go back and work for the nonprofit, or you're going to go back and work in the office.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then I went from, I'm a homemaker now to, okay, so I want to apply to nursing school. Okay. For me, that's sort of a logical thing, because I've been thinking about this in my head. For you, this was like, wait, where, you know, so once I went back and I said, hey, listen, I have always wanted to be somewhat involved in healthcare. I didn't even necessarily always want to be a nurse, but I always knew I wanted to be in healthcare in some capacity, right? So that's new information for you. Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. So why now? Well, I wanted to do it now because our boys are older and a little more independent, you know. I'm not nursing, for instance. They're not in diapers, et cetera, et cetera. So the older they get, the easier it is for them to sort of live their own lives. They're not as dependent on me and on you, you know.
Doesn't that thing – so that means that we should have a plan. The boys will be out of school and in college in the next 7 to 8 years.
That's crazy talk right there. But
yeah, it is totally nuts, because I know people who know us who remember us carrying them around.
Yeah, right.
And I remember – I always remind them, I remember when you didn't exist. So don't talk back.
Right.
What are we doing after that?
Right.
Have we even got an empty nest plan?
Do people do that? Is that a thing?
Well, I mean, we should have an expectation. You know how when you're dating and then, you know, maybe you're going to move in with the person or you're going to get married, but then you discover that they do something gross with their toothbrush or they don't flush the toilet or, you know, whatever. And then it's like, is that a deal breaker?
Yeah.
Right. And maybe you don't want pets, or maybe you do want pets, or maybe they're a vegan or whatever. Like there's a marriage or a relationship is a series of potential deal breakers that you then accept as not deal breakers. And then you move on to the next thing. Mm. What if we find out that you want to go and do salsa dancing for the next 20 years after the boys have left?
As talented as I am.
Yes, you know, right. And I want to play Xbox.
Yeah.
What's, yeah. How do we solve that?
Well, I mean, I'm curious to hear your take on that. How do we solve that?
Do we need to do it on a live on a podcast? I was just throwing out the idea that maybe we need to do some planning.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's a given.
I don't know. Right? I was hoping we would hang out and, I don't know, do yoga and go to the senior center. I don't know.
I see you've given it a lot of thought here.
I think the point is to get the boys out of the house and then chill.
Yeah.
Right? The goal is to hang out, right? Isn't that just the goal in life?
Hey, friends. As a software engineer, chances are you've crossed paths with MongoDB at some point, whether you're building an app for millions of users or just figuring out your side hustle. As the most popular non-relational database, MongoDB is intuitive and incredibly easy for development teams to use. Now, with MongoDB Atlas, you can take advantage of MongoDB's flexible document data model as a fully automated cloud service. MongoDB Atlas handles all the costly database operations and admin tasks that you'd rather not spend time on, like security, high availability, data recovery, monitoring, and elastic scaling. Try MongoDB Atlas for free today. Visit mongodb.com/cloud. That's mongodb.com/cloud to learn more.
Well, but I mean, one of the issues that we're facing, which I think most couples don't face, is that I am relatively new in my career, right? So you've been doing this for what, over 20 years? I mean, at least
25, in fact.
In 25. Excuse me, I stand corrected, people. 25 years.
No, but you've been a nurse for
5 years.
Right. Is that mostly new? You're like a senior nurse.
No, but what I'm talking about, though, is from a career point of view. Most people, when they talk about a career, it's 30 years, right? So you're talking about retiring. Yes, they do. Okay. They do. That's a thing.
Okay.
But I'm not even sort of halfway into my career, so to speak. You know, so it does create a bit of an unusual challenge. And I think most people, by the time they're 45, are not saying, I'm just 5 years old in my job, you know, whatever my job is.
Well, that's a good question. So do you want to do this until you're 65?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I was saying, that it's about communication and having the conversations, because you're clearly telling me that you just want to, you know, float around and be a bum, is what I heard in that.
I don't mean a bum. I would just like to finish one Xbox game.
Right.
I mean, I think the goal is to get
pressing and key
to
goal.
Make it to level 2.
Right.
I mean,
and then your life will be complete, yes.
I know. I mean, I think the goal is to not have to work. And then I might go and teach. You know, we always talked about me teaching high school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
And you talk about traveling too, right? You know.
Yeah, and then I'll teach high school wherever that is, you know.
Right, yeah.
Or run around the world. Get one of those around the world tickets where as long as you keep going east.
Right.
You can just kind of like go.
Continue.
You know, I don't know. Like the point is to not have to wake up on a random Tuesday.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I mean, I might still do the podcast and because I can't stop now, right?
That's right. I've got to be your 800th.
I need you for episode 1000.
Right.
In fact, which is coming up pretty soon here in about 7 years.
Oh, gosh.
But I guess we should probably figure that out.
Yeah.
And that's been a theme, though, in our marriage since the beginning. If you recall, when we got married and we did our vows, we also wrote a mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
And some people thought that was kind of a nerdy thing to do, but I always thought that was pretty cool because people put all this work into a wedding. But how often do they sit down and ask themselves the hard questions about, you know, oh, you're a cat person? Like, I would hate to discover the day after, or like, you know, you didn't like tacos or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, we could cobble on without tacos, but I think Diet Coke Diet Coke would be a deal breaker for you. I mean, you'd leave me and the kids if I said anything.
If you were an anti-Diet Coke zealot or something.
Right.
I'm not sure how we would function. Yeah. But the point was that intentionality seemed to be permeating us. Were you intentional before we got married? Is that like a Mo thing, a Moism?
I taught you intentionality.
I brought intentionality to you.
Oh, please.
I intentionally did it.
I take full credit.
Ah. So that actually brings up an important point. We married ourselves.
I was just going to say that. Man, oh man. I didn't know better. I think we've been married a while.
Yeah. No, but like that's true though, right? Isn't that annoying? You're just so mean.
Not at all where I thought you were going at that point. But yeah, I mean, I think it's true. And I always tell people, it's like, I married myself, which is awesome. like, you know, 62% of the time, you know, and then the rest of the time it's like, oh my God, I married myself. I mean,
it's an egomaniac to marry yourself. Well, no, when we say marry yourself, like what we mean by that is that we do.
The
like,
way you think for the most part, the how you get there is mm-hmm. different. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a programmer. So my brain doesn't work the way yours does. But I mean, on the things that matter, we almost always end up at the same point, whether it's the boys and doing homework, whether it's limiting their screen time, whether it's what, you know, the importance of family in our lives,
yeah,
et cetera,
how we
et cetera.
Manage our finances,
exactly,
and allowances,
exactly,
and where we want to go for vacation.
Mm, we always end up at the same place. It's just you meander.
I meander.
I mean, you just are all over the place as to how to get there, how to execute the plan, but you get there.
What is that about? So, what do you mean by that? I didn't know where you meander. How?
I've spent the last 20 years sort of, you know, massaging you in the right direction to this presentable person that people see now. And
oh my goodness,
yeah.
So okay,
you're welcome.
Let's talk about the things that we don't do the same. I would say the two things, maybe two and a half, depending on how you count them, that are the most annoying about our marriage.
And that's an engineer, right there.
I was going to say
two and a half.
Did you see how I didn't say you? I didn't say the most annoying things about you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
The most annoying things about our marriage is getting out of the house in the morning. Like if we're trying to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like
on time, you mean?
Yeah. Like I put, like, well, yeah. I mean, I put on my pants and I leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys and I are in the car and it's like, let's go. And you're, I don't know, cleaning the dishwashers. Just doing something that has nothing to do with leaving.
I am toiling for the family, for the children.
The dishes will be there when we get back.
That's
the second
the
thing. So one, leaving on time.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I've forgotten number two. Maps.
Ah, maps.
Like, you don't believe in maps. Like, we were at the beach a couple of weeks ago or whatever, and I was like, I was trying to explain the map, and I was like, well, it's like we're going to go this way, the hypotenuse. And you're like, no, we'll go down and then we'll go over. I'm like, no, but the hypotenuse is faster. And you're like, no, it's not. No, it's not. And of course, you were right, but that's not the point. The map. You remember? We ended up on a dirt road. It was so dumb.
You lost me after you were right, you know, at that point,
know.
You know.
I don't know. I just, I follow maps is all I'm saying.
Hey, I'm not anti-map. I mean, I think maps have a purpose.
You're fervently anti-map.
For the rest of the world, they are a useful thing to have. They provide very limited value for me. And the reason why is because I don't always understand maps, right? In order for something to provide value, you must have an appreciation and an understanding of what you're looking at. Right. You know, if I don't speak Greek and you put a whole bunch of, you know, a Greek book in front of me, I'm not going to get a whole lot out of it. And that's maps for me. It's like magic. You know?
But you could learn Greek.
I could.
But you don't care to learn maps.
There you have it. You know, that's exactly.
It's one thing to be ignorant. And I don't mean ignorant in a bad way. It's willful
because
ignorance.
Ignorant. You mean ignorant in a nice way?
Lackadaisical.
Okay. Lackadaisical.
You're not ignorant of maps. You're lackadaisical.
I'm lackadaisical.
That's a fair of maps.
Right.
I don't know. It just seems like you could learn it. Like, I think maps provide value.
They do, but there are many other things that I could learn that are important to me, that I care about.
Why do you go the long way?
Because to me, it's not the long way, right?
But it is the long way.
It's the long way to you because of something else that you value. So you might value getting to where you're going. For me, it's the process, right? What am I doing on that drive? Well, I may be talking to you, maybe talking to my other son or to my son. I may be talking to my sister, whatever the case may be, right? So it's not as necessary for me to go from point A to point B directly. I will take the way that I think is fastest. But if you tell me that there's another way that's even faster, if I go the hypotenuse, well, great. You go the hypotenuse. I'll go my way.
The part that's so funny is that the goal is almost always, you know, for the
most
part.
To get there.
Well, yeah, to get there safely and whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Following the fastest direction. You know, you don't want to be in traffic. Nobody likes stoplights.
Yeah.
And then I'll go, hey, we should go this way. It's faster. And you'll be like, well, good luck with that. Right? Like, enjoy that way. I'm not going that way. But I'm like, this is faster. And you go, if you say so. It's like you're trolling me. It's like you say, if you say so. It's like, no, it's not if I say so. If physics itself says that that direction is faster, it's faster. Except, of course, when I get it wrong and it's a dirt road. But that's neither here nor there.
And you point to a map and you say, the map says let's go this way, and we go there and we end up in somebody's backyard.
Because we're on a ferry. Wasn't it a ferry? It was like a bridge was down. Remember that one where the GPS took us right up to the end of the lake?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there was no ferry there.
There was no ferry. And there was another time it took us right up to somebody's yard because I guess they built a house and this poor guy actually let us drive through his property. I'm like, let's hear it from Abs. You know, I believe at that point I said, I stand corrected because,
you know. So this is the other thing that you do. This has become a thing. Everyone's got their shorthand. Every relationship has their shorthand. And I think that those things are important. When you're right, this is a lovely thing that my wife does. When you are correct and I am wrong, rather than saying, hey, screw you, or hey, forget you, or whatever naughty thing you could say, you say, oh, well, I stand corrected, which is the exact opposite of what in fact happened. So, yeah, so I stand corrected is the antithesis of
you were wrong, you idiot. Wrong,
you idiot. That's what you're thinking. But you say it in a really sweet way. And you go, well, pardon me.
Yeah, that's right.
But clearly
that's
the map was right. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like maps are important. But getting out the door on time is important as well. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, but again, what am I doing instead of getting out on time? For you, it just becomes a matter of you're disrespecting the process. You're disrespecting us leaving, you know. Well, you know, I mean, I'm looking at those dishes. They're not going to clean themselves. And if I may, and you say to me, they'll be there when we get back.
They will.
That's the problem. They'll still be sitting there filthy when we get back.
But you can either front load the work. Mm-hmm. Or backload the work. Like, if we're leaving for a week, I can see we're doing the dishes. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. But if we're leaving for lunch, then really, let's go.
Let's just leave them there. Let's just live in that filth.
Or and whatever just, it is. Like, dishes are just an example.
And the karmic weight of
the
knowing
karmic
that.
Karmic weight?
Of knowing that you left your dishes. That doesn't bother
you. Did you just imply that dishes have a weight on your karma?
That laundry on our souls. Can we enjoy lunch knowing that our laundry is not being done? No.
Soul weight.
The answer to that is no.
Laundry.
So, anyway.
I just want to go on time. Just one day in 20 years, I want to go somewhere on time. We've been doing a lot of family events lately, which is pretty cool. Yeah. The boys signed up for Taekwondo.
Yeah.
Korean martial art. Mm-hmm. And the first couple of days, we sat there with the other parents. Mm-hmm. In like and a watched. Row of parents and watched them and checked our email.
Yeah.
And I felt kind of dumb sitting there checking my email. So then we jumped in and now we are working on our blue belts in Taekwondo. Mm-hmm. And the other parents are still sitting there on their phones.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't think that you were going to go for it, but you're actually turning out really well at this. Did that surprise you?
Well, again, I think you're glowing.
I think you're doing okay.
I am.
Better than you thought you were going to do.
That is true.
I think that's fair.
And I went through sort of a love-hate relationship with Taekwondo because it's hard to realize just how old you are. And I'm not saying that, you're not
how old one is.
One is because you always think that you're young at heart and that you're flexible. And then all of a sudden somebody says, give me 20 push-ups and you get stuck after two. And it's like, okay.
Kick me in the head. And you're like.
Yeah. You know.
Kick you in the knee.
That's right. Yeah. Because he's standing there holding his arm up above his head. It's like, kick my hand. And it's like, okay, so that's not going to happen. How about we compromise?
Yeah,
and I kick you in the ankle, you know.
We're feeling our mid to late 40s.
Exactly.
More than ever before.
Yeah. But one of the key things that made me want to do this was, you know, boys, our boys are boys, and they enjoy a lot of the boyish things, the race car games and all this stuff.
Kicking stuff, yeah.
And kicking stuff, which isn't my thing. Again, I was kind of lamenting saying I don't have a daughter. But I realized that if I want to be close to them, okay, I need to speak their language and I need to get into the things that they enjoy so we can maintain the closeness that we have now. And so I'm not really a video gamer, never really going to be my thing. But I thought to myself, well, they're going to be doing this twice a week, this Taekwondo. So that is something I can get into. And it was a stretch, you know, but it was for the children.
Yeah. Well, and so like one thing that people may notice about as we've had this conversation over the last half hour, you made a number of comments about as a woman or a daughter or two boys, you know, there's some gender role things coming from Zimbabwe that maybe run a little differently than some of the gender roles. Because I'm pretty clear on the boys should be able to do whatever they want to do, regardless of gender roles. Ironically enough, we get into Taekwondo, like 60% of the class is women and one of the grandmasters is a woman. And now we've got a bunch of women in the Taekwondo class. And again, the grandmaster, one of the grandmasters is a married couple, is a man and a woman. She actually mentioned how nice it was to have you in the class. So Taekwondo is ending up to be kind of a nice mix of men and women in that class.
I mean, I would disagree that it's 60% women. I think what you're trying to say is girls. Yeah, there's not.
Oh,
a lot
I didn't
of,
mean women. Women
as in adults. Sorry. Yeah,
because point you is, though, I, what you thought you'd be the lone woman in a taekwondo class of boys kicking stuff.
To be clear, I'm one of two women. So
and young women who are in their teens.
Teens, right? Right.
I'm just saying that it is at the very least 50-50. See, here we are mincing words. It's like 60% girls in the class. Women, girls, kids.
I don't know.
We're going to go and count the number of kids in the class now and have this argument. It ain't 5%.
It's not an argument. I'm surprised that you think it's that many because it's definitely very male, the classes. And I think...
Really?
Absolutely.
Male, what does that mean, a male
boys,
class?
I mean, males and non-females, non... Yeah.
No.
Absolutely.
Are we in the same class?
I mean, what are you seeing? Where are you going to school? But what I think we can both agree on, again, being people that could sort of end at the same conclusion, is that there's not a lot of adults there. You are the only adult male, for instance, that's not a black belt or a teacher.
Yeah, well, that is a funny thing, actually, because mm-hmm. we ended up at the wrong end. I should have joined 3 years before, because in the advanced class... Hmm. It's all black, you know, there's a ton of black belts. So there's a bunch of people in there, 25, 30, 35.
That oh, older people? Over,
that are, yeah. All Ooh. The black belts, all the people who are my age, mm-hmm. they're all black belts. Mm, and when I went up to the tournament in Washington, where I got the heavyweight championship for yellow belts.
Oh, okay. You said the heavyweight championship? Well, I was like, for being a fatty? I was like, what do you mean heavyweight championship?
Don't say fatty. That's not nice.
Oh, my bad, but you said heavyweight.
I know.
I wasn't sure what you meant by that.
No, I'm literally a heavyweight in this class. I'm a buck 90, so I'm just saying that put me in the heavyweight class.
You're a little rotund, my friend. You're a little rotund.
Hey, I'm working on it. My point is that I won the heavyweight weight class.
The seniors, you mean, yeah.
For seniors, thank you. So now I'm a heavyweight senior. This is not an inclusive podcast at this point, dear. Yeah, you're not helping me.
Right.
The point I'm making is that when I went up to... up into Seattle, it was all, you know, lots and lots of men of all ages and stuff like that.
Nice.
So yes, you're right. At the cycle that we are in the particular class that we're in, it's mostly teens and not...
And six-year-olds.
And well, there's a couple of little kids.
Who continue to kick my behind.
Kick your behind. Yes. Kick your behind.
Yes.
Anyway, point is, that was a weird random off into space there with the taekwondo. The point was, though, that here was a thing that we thought would be a traditionally boys breaking boards kind of a thing. And it ended up to be quite a nice... group of people, and now I'm visualizing, like every time we go, I'm visualizing that family black belt. Are we all going to get black belts? And I noticed actually when I went upstairs in the guest room, I didn't realize this. You had actually hung up all of our certificates and our awards from that. And in the kitchen here, we've got all of our various awards and. The little boy, our youngest son, got a couple of awards.
They both did, actually.
Yeah, and then our oldest boy got a sparring award. So they're starting to get that idea. This is their first real organized sport where they it is on them to go and achieve or not achieve.
Right, you do as well as you know, apply yourself.
Right, and you come back with something or you don't.
Or you don't,
and then you turn around and you fix
but
it.
But either way, you tried, right? You know, yeah. So I like that idea of saying put effort into it and hopefully your effort pays off and sometimes it will and sometimes it won't, but... You're showing up and you're trying, you know.
Like a marriage.
Like a marriage.
Oh, you see how we turned it all the way
That's
back
right. I walked you right to it.
You walked me back. Oh, that was a callback. I did that.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Tiny Wife, for hanging out with me on my 700th episode of the Hansel Minutes podcast, named after us and my poor estimating skills.
Hansel Hour, yeah.
Did you know that that's why Hansel Minutes is called that?
Is because you thought it would win.
Because I'm a bad estimator.
No.
True story. If you're here now listening to the 700th episode of Hansel Minutes, you may wonder, why is this show called Hansel Minutes? Because a gentleman that I worked with, who you can find on Twitter, named Travis Illig. Remember Travis?
I remember Travis, yeah.
So when I worked with him at Carillion, before Microsoft, many, many years ago, I used to say, oh, yeah, I could do that in about, you know, 30 minutes. And he would look at me incredulously, and he would say, are those Hansel minutes or actual minutes? Because I would say 30 minutes, and would end up being like 6 hours. So then when the podcast idea came out, I said that I will call it Hansel minutes after my bad estimating, because the show is supposed to be 30 minutes long, and here we are at 34.
Oh, well.
But
perfect.
And then this is the part where I do the radio voice.
Oh, I love the radio voice.
Sure. Do you want to do that? This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week. And you do that.
Oh.
Can you try that? Say that.
You're on your own.
You're not going to do that?
I'm not going to do that. I don't have that deep of a voice. What do you mean?
You got to do the radio voice.
The radio voice?
All right. We'll see you all later. Bye-bye.
Bye.